Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear Christian friends of Concordia Seminary, my alma mater, today's message is not about you specifically, nor about me. It's about Jesus, the glory of God's image. Still, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, makes us reflect on something very important: your reason for being here at Concordia Seminary. Why do you want to be a minister, a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul had several reasons for writing this letter to the church in Corinth. But one of them was to address false accusations from so-called super apostles who were apparently preaching a different gospel and discrediting him as an apostle. Thus, one purpose for this letter is to affirm his calling by God as a minister of the gospel. Aspiring to be a minister of the gospel is, as Paul would write to Timothy, a noble task. I think this would include not only those of you who are studying to be an overseer, a pastor, but such God-pleasing aspirations as those studying to be deaconesses, those preparing for other forms of church and missionary work, those teaching here at the seminary, and those supporting students in other ways. So, this is something for all of us. St. Paul begins by addressing what a minister of the gospel is not. We might add that he is probably contrasting his ministry to the false teachers who were attacking his motives and ministry in Corinth, something that he would address more fully in chapters 10 and 11. A minister of the gospel is not faint of heart. The Greek word here for lose heart in the ESV is one used for cowards, those who lack courage in combat. Next, the minister of the gospel does not practice disgraceful, underhanded, or cunning ways. One who does this is a strategist for attaining self-centered means, manipulating their message for their own intended results. They adapt it to the spirit of the age or the partialities of their hearers, more often than not as an appeal to emotions. Examples might include the pietistic conventicles of the 18th and 19th centuries focused on law and feelings, revivals, anxious benches, fire and brimstone preaching and altar calls of the Second Great Awakening, and American evangelicalism, or the showmanship seen today, including stage prancing, projectors, pyrotechnics, light shows, loud bands playing repetitive anthropocentric music. These can be seen as manipulative practices, more often than not directed at growing an audience. Furthermore, ministers of the gospel do not tamper with the word of God. The Greek word doulo means to falsify, adulterate, or dilute. All of Scripture is God-breathed, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. We do not take away from, falsify, or dilute God's word. Finally, ministers of the gospel do not proclaim themselves. This is not a popularity contest. You and I, the poor, miserable sinners that we are, have nothing of ourselves that will save anyone. Jesus is always the focus. And personal anecdotes, even like Paul's own boasting, should always point to Christ. With that said, let's now consider what a minister or ministry of the gospel is. First and foremost, it is confidence in God's mercy. And because of that, it's not cowardly or faint-hearted. Paul preached the gospel boldly, without shame. This was confidence not in his own ability, but complete dependence on the mercy of God and the power of the gospel. Remember, Paul endured afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, stoning, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and more. Yet, by God's mercy, he did not lose heart. And he could encourage the same for the Christians in Corinth, and for you and for me. The ministry of the gospel involves living one's life as an open book and commending oneself to others' consciences in the sight of God. Paul preached an open gospel based on the truth of God's word. He was also open about his own shortcomings, which included not being the best speaker or unskilled speaker, as he said, and having something he called a thorn in the flesh. He does not have to think about some gimmick which would get people to listen to him. Openness with the truth of God's word and one's own weaknesses speaks volumes to the God-given consciences of others. The ministry of the gospel proclaims Jesus Christ, who is the very image of God. Without the promise of the Christ from of old, the image of God's grace and mercy would have remained veiled, as it were, by the law given through Moses. But Jesus the Christ, very God of very God, who was promised all the way back to Adam and Eve, came into our world to show forth God's grace and mercy, to fulfill God's law perfectly on our behalf, to suffer God's just wrath over sin, and by his glorious resurrection to conquer sin, death, and Satan for you and for me. In Christ, we see God's love for the world, that through faith in God's only begotten Son, we have forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal life. The ministry of the gospel serves others for Jesus' sake. The Apostle Paul preached the gospel humbly in order to serve others. He knew his calling was not due to his own work, ability, or credentials, but always by God's mercy alone. Saul had been blind to the truth of God, but God broke through his darkness, physically blinded him, connected him to Christ in baptism, changed his name to Paul, and then sent him with the gospel to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul always served others for Jesus' sake because of our Lord's mercy toward him and because of the gospel's power to enlighten others. In Paul, we see that the ministry of the gospel involves confidence in God's mercy, humility, transparency, and service. And one more thing. The ministry of the gospel recognizes that though the gospel is powerful and efficacious, it's not always effective. If people do not respond to the gospel, it is not the gospel's fault, nor Paul's fault, nor your fault. They are blinded by Satan. Unbelievers, and unless they see the light, they are perishing eternally. The god or idol whom the world unconsciously worships and pays allegiance to has brainwashed them so they do not see the truth regarding their own sin and their need for a savior. Yet the minister of the gospel is confident that the Holy Spirit breaks through the veil of darkness, blinding unbelievers. We pray that the Holy Spirit uses the gospel that we share to work faith in others' hearts. When we consider what minister of the gospel is not, and what a minister of the gospel is. How do we keep from losing heart, shrinking, and cowardice? Who are you and I to carry out such a task? Like the Apostle Paul, God has shown us mercy in Christ. Maybe we haven't persecuted and killed Christians, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't claim with Paul that we are the chief of sinners. We dare not deny it. We must humbly confess it. And yet, God has shown us great and wonderful mercy in Christ. In holy baptism, we are connected to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, given the Holy Spirit, forgiveness, and faith. The same powerful word which God spoke at creation, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in your hearts and in my heart. You have the privilege of regularly basking in that light here at Concordia Seminary, in classes, in chapel, fieldwork congregations, personal devotions, and conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ. God's word never returns empty. It is dunamis, power. It works and strengthens faith, builds confidence as a minister of the gospel, equips you for service to others. The light of Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Concordia Seminary's theme for 2022 and 2023 academic year is sharing the gospel, sharing our lives, based on 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. However, I think that 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6, also addresses your theme quite well. The ministry of the gospel is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in bold, confident proclamation and in our lives of service to others. You are able to do that with confidence, openness, and transparency in the face of your own shortcomings and weaknesses because you have been shown the mercy of God and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. May our merciful Lord continue to shine the light of Christ and his word into your hearts, giving you the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.